So Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. A final word. Be strong with the Lord's mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies and tricks of the devil. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule the world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words as I boldly explain God's secret plan, that the good news is for the Gentiles too. I am in chains now for preaching this message as God's ambassador, but pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him, as I should.
It's my privilege and pleasure to be able to bring you the word of God today. And today, as you've heard and as you know, today we are going into our series, Mind Over Matter, the second week of the series. And the slogan for this series is, what's on your mind changes everything that matters. That should be coming on your screen. What's on your mind changes everything that matters. And last week, we can remember that Will took us through the spiritual mind. What is a spiritual mind? And he gave us three words: thinking, feeling, and action. When you think something, it becomes a feeling, and then that feeling becomes an action. And he reminded us of Romans 12, verses 2, that says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And today we are talking about the mind is a battlefield. The mind is a battlefield. Very apt, I think, for Remembrance Day. But today we remember those that were on the battlefield. And we remember them because they sacrificed so much on the battlefield. And they sacrificed so much so that we may know freedom. We may have freedom of speech. We may be able to be free to vote. Whatever side you may have voted or decided for America, it doesn't matter. You still have freedom to vote. You have freedom to worship. We may not be able to worship together in the building, but we have a freedom to worship God in our country today because of those that gave up so many, so much. You know, I find World War II so fascinating. I love my history, and I just find it so fascinating that one man can have such an immense impact upon history, quite negatively, obviously. But, you know, I want you to imagine for me one minute this situation. You know, Hitler's appetite for power and for territory was growing rapidly during the days. His army were marching across Europe, and they were taking country by country and advancing as they went. As they advanced, they had tanks and technology which were far superior to other countries. Some undeveloped nations couldn't handle the power of Hitler and his force. And they would just plow right through. And there was no contest and no way of stopping Hitler with his determination to take over the world. It was an unfair battle to begin with. And the same could be said about the battle that we face on a daily basis. We don't face a physical battle, but we face one that is an invisible battle. Our battle often goes unnoticed, that actually many Christians don't even realize that there's a daily battle that we have to face. And just like Hitler and the army sweeping their way through. Satan can sweep his way through unnoticed into our lives, and we don't even realize the power that he's having on our lives. Many Christians are not actually prepared to fight and to eventually win this battle. So what is the battle? Well, whether you like it or not, each and every one of us have a battle going on in our minds every single day. There's a battle going on. And as it says in Ephesians 6, a final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all the armor, all of God's armor, so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers of this dark world, and against evil spirits of the heavenly places. Our battle is not in the physical. It's in the spiritual realms. We are fighting the devil and the rulers of this dark world. We are fighting the mighty powers of the dark world and the evil spirits. We are fighting every day in our minds, and our flesh and our spirit are fighting. And Satan knows the power that your mind holds over your body. Why? Because he knows whatever gets your mind gets you. Because what's on your mind changes everything that matters. They say that 98% of the battles that you fight will be won or lost in your mind first and foremost. 98% of your battles are won or lost in your mind first and foremost. So Satan understands the power of the mind, and he wants to take over your mind. He wants to influence you. He wants to cripple you and take you away from what God has in store for you. And sometimes it can be so hard to take control of our minds. You know, I don't know about you, but often when you're wanting to do things, your mind seems to have a mind of its own. Quite often I find when I'm maybe trying to do something focused, like read my Bible or I pray, my mind is just not focused, and it can jump every which way. I start to pray, dear Lord Jesus, oh yeah, I need to do my washing. Lord, we thank you for this. I need to make sure that I pick up this gift. And our minds just wander. You know, my wife gets fully frustrated because often my mind can go to that blank place, the place many men can go to where we're not thinking about anything, but my wife just finds it fascinating that during a prayer, I just go to that blank place. And sometimes, sadly to say, when I'm praying at night, I'll pray myself to sleep, much to my wife's frustration. And that's the problem, is sometimes our minds, we are fighting and we are struggling to keep ourselves focused. And that's because we have a fleshly thinking. Our flesh, ourselves, it wants to do something, but our spirit wants something else. Romans 8 verse 5, I think that's on the screen, says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the spirit set their minds on the things of the spirit. For to set your mind on the flesh is death, but to set your mind on the spirit is life and peace. You know, our flesh wants to do one thing. Our mind and our heart, with everything within us, we want to be able to pray. We want to be able to focus. We want to be able to get our minds focused on God. But sometimes our flesh takes over. Sometimes we just have those things that are taking our mind away from focusing our mind on God. Paul said it himself. He said, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. So often, we have an inner battle within us. We are fighting between what we want to do and actually what happens, and what we don't want to do and what we end up doing. We want to do good, but we keep messing up. We want to be able to read our Bible and focus, but we just get so distracted. We want to have pure thoughts, but we keep looking at things that maybe are not godly and honorable. We want to do what is right, but we struggle because our mind is a daily battlefield. You know, the battle for sin always starts in your mind. The battle for sin always starts in your mind. And that is why we see so many great people fall away from the Lord, because they actually lose the battle in their mind first and foremost before they actually fall and they walk away from God. Because they've slowly listened to what Satan's lies over him. Because actually the Bible tells us in John 8:44, it says that Satan is the father of lies. He is the father of lies, and he is continually whispering lies into your ears. I don't know what he whispers to you, but it could be you're not good enough. Maybe it's you're stupid, or you're not worth anything. Maybe he's saying God didn't actually promise you that. Or, you know, there's no hope. And probably at this time during the pandemic, you might be hearing, will this ever end? Probably not. Because Satan wants to plant those lies into your mind so that he can conquer your heart. I wonder today, what lie has Satan planted in your mind that is stuck in your heart and in your mind and changing the way you live your life? Satan desires to create doubt, confusion, even despair in the pathways of our minds. Ephesians 4 verse 26 says, do not give the devil a foothold. The moment we give the devil a foothold, and if you don't know what a foothold is when basically that you open the door and you allow those lies or you allow sin into your life, and you're allowing the devil basically a foot in the door into your life. The moment we give the devil a foothold, he will take full advantage of it. And actually, before long, those lies will become so ingrained in our lives that actually they might become strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3-5 should be on the screen, says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You know, the word stronghold there, it comes from the Greek word okamora. And it means a fortified city, a military stronghold. And actually, one of the commentaries says that it means that you're a person who's in prison. You're in a fortified prison, and you can't get out of that prison of deception. And so often we can allow those words that have been spoken over us. Maybe as a child you were told something. And that lie that you were told by maybe your parents or your teachers or something, whatever it may be, that lie takes hold in your mind and you begin to believe it and you begin to live a life according to it. Because actually what is on your mind changes everything that matters. I believe this morning that there are people who are listening to this, that you feel like you're losing the battle of your mind. You've listened to the lies of the enemy. You've listened to the lies that say you're not good enough, that say that you're not worthy, that say that you're not enough. And I want to tell you, those are the lies of the devil, and you need to say, devil, go away. And you need to claim the truth of Jesus Christ in your life today. Freedom in Christ's definition of a stronghold says it is a belief or a habitual pattern of thinking that is not consistent with what God tells us is true. It is a belief or habitual pattern of thinking that is not consistent with what God tells us is true. I wonder this morning, what is your stronghold? What stronghold has taken place in your life that you need to eradicate and that you need to work on? We all have areas in our lives, and I was so encouraged when I was listening to a sermon by Craig Groeschel, a great pastor in America, who said that actually his biggest stronghold, his biggest battle is his mind, because he feels like he's not good enough. The 3 days before his sermon, he doubts himself and he thinks, I'm not able to do this. The 3 days after his sermon, he says, I'm not sure that I've actually done a good job, and he doubts himself. And the day that he's doing the sermon, he delivers his best, but he also doubts that he's good enough. And so he said that he has to fight this battle with his mind every day. We have a choice to make, and what we do will make a difference for eternity. So how do we fight this battle? How do we fight this battle? Well, I got 5 points, so we're going to have to, 4 points, sorry, we're going to have to go real fast through these. But first of all, we must strengthen ourselves in the Lord. If Maggie can put that up. We must strengthen ourselves in the Lord. As Ephesians 6 verse 10 says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Often, you know, we try to do things in our own strength. So often we try to do it in our own power, but actually God wants us to do it in his strength and his authority. I love the show SAS, Who Dares Wins. I love that show. I think it's amazing. If you've not seen it, it's on Channel 4, and it's about normal people and sometimes celebrities that want to try and prove themselves tough enough to be a part of the SAS. They want to prove that they're strong enough. And it's not often the physically strong that win. It's actually those that are mentally strong that end up winning and become a part of the SAS. One of the SAS sergeants says, the most powerful tool in my armory is my mindset. I love that one, but I don't necessarily agree with this next one. He says, don't let anyone else define who you are. Don't let anyone else define who you are. Although there is truth with that, and we shouldn't allow other people in our lives to define who we are, I believe that we are defined by the Lord God Almighty. And he is the one who defines us and tells us our worth. He tells us our value, and he puts on us the rightful name and the strength and the power that we have to live. God is the one who defines us. And when we see this, what Paul is saying in this, he's actually saying to strengthen yourself in the Lord. He's talking about making sure that you find the strength that comes from God alone. You know, when David faced Goliath, he didn't face him with the armor that he was given by the world. No, he said in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, he says, you come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. And we also see that he said, I strengthen myself in the Lord. We can have such strength and power that comes through Christ. The word power there comes from the word dunamis, which means the explosive power of God. Hallelujah. We don't need to rely on our own strength, but we can rely on the strength and the dunamis, explosive power of Jesus Christ in our lives on a daily basis. You know, many times you maybe have joined a gym and you've given up, or maybe you've gone on a diet. I know I've gone on a couple of diets and I've unfortunately given up. Maybe it's a New Year's resolution that you've tried, but probably by the end of January, you've managed to give up. And that is because often we try to do it in our own strength. We try to do the gym, we try to do diets so that we can get better, but actually we're not doing it in the strength that comes from God. We're not doing it through the dunamis, explosive power of Jesus Christ. We must learn to strengthen ourselves in him. Our confidence, our hope, our strength in the time of a pandemic is in Jesus Christ alone. So firstly, we strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Secondly, we strap on the full armor of God. It says in verse 11, put on all of God's armor. And then in verse 13, it says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor. Paul in this passage says, put on 5 times. And the words he uses are very active. He says, put on, take, hold up, stay alert, ask God. We must be active and we must be proactive to put on the full armor of God. Not a part of it, but a whole. Because 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. It's our responsibility to put on the full armor of God. No warrior, no person going into a battlefield will ever put on half their body armor or will go without their gun. So why do we do it sometimes as Christians? We see as you read throughout Ephesians 6, you can see what the body armor is. First of all, it's encouraging us to put on the belt of truth, which is the belt of the gospel. Truth which holds everything in place. The word of God that holds everything up and protects us. We put on the body, the breastplate of righteousness, which protects us. It's Jesus' righteousness that we stand in. It protects our hearts and we live in his righteousness. We put on the shoes of the gospel of peace so that we have a readiness to go wherever we need to go. We hold the shield of faith, which protects us from the fiery arrows. We put on the helmet of salvation, which is a hope of salvation that we know will protect us from negativity and from the doubt that can so easily creep in. And we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. John MacArthur said this. He said, the great joys come in the greatest victories, and the greatest victories come from the greatest battles, when they are fought in the power and with the full armor of the Lord. So today, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Secondly, strap on the full armor of God. Thirdly, seize every wrong thought and speak God's truth. Seize every wrong thought and speak God's truth. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You know, there was a teenage boy once who said to his father, you know, I think I'm just going to fail geometry. His father looked very perplexed and confused. Excuse me. And so his father replied and he said to him, oh man, you need to be a bit more positive than that. You're not being very positive. So his son tried to pick up some positivity in his heart and he said, okay, I'm positive that I'm going to fail geometry. Sometimes that's what we do, isn't it? We actually don't necessarily take captive the thought and we allow the thought to take captive of us. That boy was so sure that he was going to fail that he couldn't even be positive that he would even pass. I don't know what you're struggling with. It could be thoughts of lust. It could be thoughts of anger, of fear, of greed, whatever it might be. But those doubts and those lines can creep in. And unless we take those thoughts captive, we will never win this battle in our minds. Craig Rochelle said, you cannot defeat what you cannot define. You cannot defeat what you cannot define. This morning, define that thing in your life that is pulling you down. Define that thing that is holding you back from being all that God wants you to be. Take captive that thought which is not of the word of God, which is not from God himself. Take it captive and make it obedient to Christ. That word to take captive, it talks about to take control, to conquer, to bring that thought into submission to Jesus Christ. But how do we do that? Well, we heard last week Will saying, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we take captive a thought, we must speak the word of God to replace it over our lives. Psalm 119:15 says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Jesus even said himself, if you obey my teaching, you are really my disciples. You will know my truth, and the truth will set you free. This morning, where do you need to be set free? I want to encourage you to define and to take captive every thought that is negative and to speak the word of God. Maybe this morning you're feeling unloved. I want to tell you that Jeremiah 31 says, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, my unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. If you're feeling alone today, Jesus is saying to you in Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Maybe you're full of fear because of the pandemic. Well, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Whatever it is this morning, take captive that negative thought. Bring that negative thought into submission before Christ and replace it with the awesome, amazing word of God. So strengthen yourself in the Lord. Strap on the full armor of God. Seize every wrong thought and speak God's truth. And then lastly, stay alert and pray persistently. Ephesians 6 verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on all occasions. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Pray at all times. Stay alert and be persistent in prayer. If we don't utilize the power of prayer in our lives, it doesn't matter what we do as we go into the battle of our mind. If we are not prayerful, then everything else will be useless. Prayer is the thing that unlocks and helps us to claim the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. Prayer helps us to recognize who God is and helps us to recognize the lies which are pulling us away from him. Prayer builds our faith. And ultimately, prayer will win the battle of the mind and against the devil. There's a quote that says, if we were to pray as much as you worry, you would have a lot less to worry about. As Matthew comes up and we go into a time of response today, we're going to have our time of worship. I want to challenge you this morning, and I want to ask you this morning, what is going on in the battle of your mind? Have you taken authority? Have you come and taken power over your mind? Today, I want to challenge you. Take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you, O God, that we are reminded that there is a battle waging every single day for our mind. And Lord God, that battle is so real. And Lord, I know that there are people at home right now that are struggling with this, and they feel like they're not winning it. They feel like they've even potentially lost it. And Lord, I want to say that is not true. Satan, get out. You have no authority on those that are listening to this right now, because Jesus Christ has already won the victory. He has already won the battle. And we just need to face this battle on a daily basis. The victory is in Jesus. And his promises are yes and amen. And so this morning I pray right now, Father, if there is anyone, Lord God, who is listening today, Father, that is feeling like their mind has been just filled with negative thoughts, that is filled with wrong things, or they're in a pattern of sin in their lives. Lord, I pray, Father, that they would turn around today. Lord, that they would take those thoughts captive, that they would put them, strengthen themselves in you, O God. And Lord, that you would speak to us and reveal to us, Lord God, that we can win the battle when we do it in the name of the Lord our God. Some come before you with sword and shield, but we come in the name of the Lord our God. Lord, we give you thanks, we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.